عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama ikram, respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa. One brother told me this afternoon, he says, Maulana, you would be lucky if you have about 50-60 people tonight, because there is a cricket match, one of the matches of the World Cup, and most of our brothers are glued to the television. I said, brother, inshallah, those whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to guide, then nafs and shaitan will not be able to restrain them. But just after that, I had a call from one of the towns. A woman phoned to say, I'm sitting in the masjid, I'm not telling you stories. A woman phoned to say that, Maulana, what must I do? My husband is an imam of a masjid. And last night, after watching the program, then the discussion regarding that program ended past midnight. The cricket match or whatever they watched, then after that discussions take place. Another commentary begins after that. So that ended past midnight with friends. So he was not there for Fajr Salat. Then this afternoon for Zuhr Salat, he didn't go to the masjid. Asr, he was not in the masjid. And he asked me to tell whoever taps at the door that Imam Sahib is sick, whereas he's glued to the television watching cricket. Now, what I mentioned last week, in the light of this incident, we should take a lesson. This is what I was saying. That Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports that hadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam says, my Allah ordered me, specifically instructed me with regards to 9 things, gave me special hukam and special order. And I explained to you that that was not for Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was for us. He said that you must fear Allah in public and in private. Now, this is what I was trying to get across to you, that even if a person reads plenty of kitabs, he can even get the title of Maulana Sahab and Qari Sahab and Mufti Sahab and Qazi Sahab and Haji Sahab and so many other Sahabs, we can put titles. But if the Islah of the Nafs is not made in the company of the Ahlullah, then somewhere along the line, nafs and shaitan will again take him away. The fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which was supposed to be in public and in private, will not be there. The moment the person believes that there is nobody watching me, the moment the person believes that nobody else will come to know about this weakness of mine and about this sin of mine and about this evil deed of mine, then the person will indulge in it. Nafs and shaitan, they trap a person so easily. Again, that same example of that snake, that it was not a dead snake, it was just due to the winter and to the snow and to the cold, it was due to these conditions that there was no movement in that snake. So this person brought that snake and began to show to the people that, look what a huge snake I brought, I caught it, I'm a master. But when the heat of the sun warmed the blood of the snake, then straight away it swung into action. and everybody disappeared, even the person who was performing. So nafs and shaitan, we should never ever think that we have freed ourselves of the clutches of nafs and shaitan. They will go on making an effort until our dying day. Until the last moments of a person's life, they will keep trying and keep making an effort to cause a deviation, to lead the person astray. And this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is instructing us, and especially we who have got beards, kurtas, round topis, and we are in the masjid, and we are sometime for hajj, and sometimes at the roza of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, reading as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah, then we should be more careful than others. We do not know from which direction he is going to come and attack us. And it's only the Ahlullah's company that if purification is obtained of this soul, then the person will be able to detect that nafs is now misdirecting me or shaitan is now attacking me. If the person has not done that, then reading all the kitabs also will not save that person. It will not save that person. The knowledge will be there, but the courage to practice on that knowledge will not be there. The courage to practice on that knowledge, the strength to practice on that knowledge, that will not be there. So that is what Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that my Allah has ordered me that I must fear Him in public and in private. In my public life and private life, there must be khawf of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala is watching, Allah Ta'ala knows, Allah Ta'ala is with me. The ayat I recited in tonight's Isha Namaz just comes to mind. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. The ghaib of the heavens and the earth, if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows that, because man does not know so many things. All the technology, all the science put together cannot answer many questions. That famous ayat of the Quran Sharif, which you have heard tafsir many times, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِلْمَهُ عِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتِ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the gist and the meaning of which is this, that it is only Allah who has the knowledge of exactly the day, the time when Qiyamah will take place. The hour, exactly, the complete and the detailed knowledge of that only Allah Ta'ala has. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. With regards to the rainfall, the absolute knowledge is only with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Exactly how much of rain will fall, where it will fall, what will be the consequences of this rainfall, whether it will lead to improvement in the vegetation and in the crops that people have planted, and whether it will be beneficial or it is going to be a cause of destruction and havoc. All the details of this rainfall, exactly how many drops or how many liters or what volume of rain, only Allah Ta'ala has. All the machines and all the computers of the world cannot give us that knowledge. With regards to وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, what the woman has in her stomach or in her womb, whether it is a male or female, that they can predict, they can tell us that it's a male child that's going to be born or a female child. But the detailed knowledge of this child that's going to come into this world, whether in the first place this child is going to be born or there will be a stillborn child, or whether this woman will have a miscarriage due to accident or some fear that gripped her, there was an attack in the house, there was a hold up, or there was something like that and that woman got a shock and she had a miscarriage. So even the gynecologist did not know one day before that this woman, this is what is going to happen to her. He said that you must come after 2 weeks and you will have a normal delivery. So the detail and absolute knowledge after the child is born, whether this child is going to be an Allama sahab, a Mufti sahab, a Qari sahab, a Hafiz sahab, or a doctor or a teacher or a lawyer, or this child is going to be an absolute dud, this child is going to be useless, the detailed knowledge of that only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has. The difference sicknesses that this child is going to go through in its period of life, whether it will stay in good health or ill health, and all the other details that go with it, how many years it is going to live on this earth. Only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has that knowledge. All the computers of the world cannot give us that knowledge. With regards to where the person... وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. What the person is going to earn tomorrow, whether the person is going to live till tomorrow or not, he doesn't know. The next second is going to live or he doesn't know. I always give that example that in 1974, there was one person, a very good person, and he used to always apply for passport. But because of his link with the ANC in those days, the passport was always refused. But in 74, he was given a passport. And everybody was surprised that how did this government give this person a passport to go for Hajj. In Mina, he complained of chest pain and he passed away. And he is buried there. Only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows where the person is going to die, where he is going to be buried, and also what he is going to earn tomorrow. That means the person can plan. Allah does not stop us from planning. We can plan 10 years ahead, we can plan 20 years ahead or 100 years ahead. But to have that yaqeen that we will definitely see the fruits of our planning, that is a mistake. We should not trust in those plans that we have made. So many people have had many, many plans, but they did not live to see those plans, the fruits of those plans. So only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has that knowledge. In Johannesburg, just before the elections, the 94 elections, there was some Mr. Du Toit, and he was addressing a conference. It came in the Natal Mercury, that this person said that whatever has to be done now. Tomorrow could be too late. And just after a few seconds, he choked, he collapsed, and he died. So that person also didn't know that he's going to still, that he won't be seeing tomorrow. So what do we know when we are going to go away? So besides the knowledge of these things which Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, there are so many other things Allah Ta'ala alone has that knowledge. So you think he does not have the knowledge of what we are doing? Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah Ta'ala is seeing everything what you are doing. So if only we get this, that Allah Ta'ala is watching, Allah Ta'ala knows, Allah Ta'ala sees, Allah Ta'ala hears everything, then we will be able to restrain ourselves from everything that is displeasing to Allah and everything that is haram. So the courage and the strength to make amal on the knowledge which we have, it comes with the sohbat of the Ahlullah. The strength comes, the courage comes. There's so much that we can still discuss with regards to that, but I want to go on to the second point tonight. Last week I thought we will discuss the 9 items, but we didn't go past the first one. So let us go on to the second one. Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that my Rabb specifically instructed me and ordered me that I must say the truth. I must be just and fair in the statement that I make or in the judgment that I give. I must be fair. Whether I'm in an angry mood or in a happy mood. I'm giving you the meaning that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ordering Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that whether you are in a happy state, in a happy and frame of mind, or whether you are displeased and angry with somebody, but you must only say that which is haq and which is truth and which is just and which is fair. Now this again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from the time that he was born, there was no question of injustice. There was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making any decision against a person just because he was angry with that person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there could have been nobody more fair and just than him. There are so many incidents in the ahadith. But here this lesson is for us, that it happens that when we are angry with somebody, then at that time we forget the good qualities of that person. And we will condemn that person left, right and center. And not only that person, but we will swear and curse himself, we will curse his father, his mother and his whole family, because we are angry with that person. And if we are happy with that person, he is our friend, he is our companion, then after that we are not going to worry about any of his weak points. We will only talk about his good points. Allah. And we will pass such comments in which there will be nothing but exaggeration. There will be plenty of exaggeration. Exaggeration, it reminds me that there were two friends. One person was in the habit of exaggeration all the time. So once he told his friend, he said to his friend, he says, my great-grandfather, he was a multi-rich person. In the continent, he was the richest person, and he had a stable of horses. So many horses and such a big stable that if a horse had to leave in the break of dawn and it had to travel at high speed, it will not reach the other end of the stable. Such a stable he has, and so rich he was. So his friend was tired of the exaggeration of this person all the time. So he said, well, that's nothing really very great, because my great-grandfather, he had a rod, a stick. It was so long, so big, so tall stick, that when he used to see clouds in the sky, he used to just tap and the rain used to come down. So his friend asked him, he said, well then, how can he have such a long stick? Where did he keep such a stick? He said, in your grandfather's stable. So when we are happy and pleased with a person, then we must not exaggerate about his good qualities so much. And when we are displeased with a person, then we must not forget that he also has many good qualities. There must be a balance. We must be fair and just. And this is not an easy thing. It's easy to listen to it. But let there be two people, one your friend and one your enemy. And we know that the enemy is right in what he is saying, and the friend is wrong. On the one side, it's our family member, my brother, my sister, my father, my uncle, or my very close friend and companion. And on the other side is my enemy. Look at Islamic history. There are so many incidents. Inshallah, we'll come back to these things again. There are so many incidents where judgment was given in favor of the enemy because he was right. The famous incident of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who does not know that when his coat of arms or shield was missing, it was found in the possession of some Jewish person. So that person was arrested. But although Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was at that time Amirul Mu'mineen, he could not just say that this is mine and grab it from him and put that person into prison. He had to prove it in court that it was belonging to him. Amirul Mu'mineen has to prove it. So when Qazi Shurai asked for evidence, witnesses, to prove that it belongs to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, my son Hazrat Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan, and my slave servant Qunbar. So when he mentioned these two names, Qazi Shurai said that the evidence of the son in favor of the father is not accepted in Islamic court. That was his ruling. And the evidence of the slave in favor of the master. So therefore I cannot accept the evidence of these two people. Yet who could have been more honest than Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala or Hussein radiallahu ta'ala? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had already declared them Sayyida Shabab Ahlil Jannah, leader of the youth in Jannat. But Qazi Shurai says, I cannot accept it. That is Islamic law. So when it was dismissed, immediately that Jewish person said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He accepted Islam. He says, if this is justice, then I have got nothing to restrain me from accepting Islam. And he stayed in the company of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and he passed away in the battle of Siffin. He got martyred there. So there are many incidents like this. Inshallah, we'll come back to that. But what I am saying is that it is easy to listen to it, but go down to the brass tack level. That when it comes to an enemy on the one side or the friend on the other, or even if the person is not an enemy, but if a person's wife brings a complaint to the husband, or the person's child brings a complaint to the parent, or the person's student brings the complaint to the teacher. Now, at these times, immediately the reaction is this, that we want to reprimand the other person, irrespective of what is the truth in the story. Without investigation, without any evidence, we immediately come to conclusion that my brother must be right in what he is saying. My father can't speak lies. My uncle, whatever he says, is always the truth and nothing but the truth. So this is where the test comes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is being ordered by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah ta'ala in the Quran Sharif, what does he say?
وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ.
The essence of which is this, that do not let the enmity of a people cause you to deviate from justice. اِعْدِلُوا, be just, because that is closer to taqwa. Be fair and just. When you are making a decision, when you are passing a judgment, then irrespective of which mood you are in, happy mood or sad, angry or happy, but say that only which is the truth. Do not deviate from the truth. Let it not cause you diversion. Let it not make you take sides just on the basis of family relationship or anything of that nature. Now this is a real test. It is the scale. It is the mizan. Why do we say that the full sirat is finer than a hair and sharper than the edge of the sword? That pul sirat, it will be easy for the believers to cross that pul sirat. When we read in the Hadith Sharif that some will cross it like lightning, then who will be those people that will cross it like lightning? Those who in this world have been always very, very balanced, especially in all matters of Sharia. It was a fine edged sword. Little this side and they are committing zulm. Little this side and they are just and fair. And they are making ihsan. So there were tests coming in this person's life all the time. And due to that khawf of Allah which was in his heart, he was prepared to suffer the consequences of speaking the truth. But he was not prepared to be unjust and unfair in his judgment. So this is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb specifically ordered me with regards to this. That in whatever state of mind I am, but I must not deviate from haq and from truth. As I just explained, that this is what happens. That the moment we dislike a person, then we dislike everything. All the goodness in him also we forget. And when we like a person, then we like everything. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, that ghairo mein, in others, those who have got just taluq with me, they just come to meet me, they are just my guests, then I look at all the good points and all the good qualities in them. I find an excuse for all their weakness. Those who are just my guests, or they are just meeting me, or they have just come to visit me, or they are just casual acquaintances, then I look for everything that's good in them. But that person who becomes my murid, then I look for every weakness in him. This is what we mean by islah, by the sheikh. He says, that person who becomes my murid, then I look for every weakness in him. Because he has given himself, and it is an amanat in my hand. And if I'm not going to reprimand him, for example, if he is wearing his pants below his ankle, then I will tell him immediately that pull it up above your ankle, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has cursed those people who drag it below their ankles. So do we want to live under the curse of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? Or that person, if he is going to cut his beard, then I will reprimand him. If that person in his akhlaq, he is not going to be following the Sharia, then I'm going to reprimand him. That person, in every little move that he makes, if I observe that weakness, then I will not say, look for all the good in this person. I will look for all the weakness in him, because this person has submitted himself for reformation and change. And if I'm not going to reprimand him, if I'm not going to tell him, then this person will remain in that state all his life. Then where will the change come about? So we have to understand very clearly these points. Many people don't understand this. When we tell them that a certain person, he is your friend, or he listens to you, or the person is a murid of someone, or the person is a jamaat brother, then when we say that now this person is all the time traveling with you, is moving about with you, he is dealing with you, he is doing deen work with you. So if you see any weakness in him, then it is your duty now to tell that person that, look, this is a weakness and you must rectify it. For example, that person is owing people money. And instead of paying the people the monies that are due to them, this person keeps going for Hajj and Umrah. Nafil Hajj, Nafil Umrah, or deen work. Then it is the duty of that person to tell that person that, no, in your condition, it is necessary that you remain behind. And instead of going for Nafil Hajj and Nafil Umrah, you make an effort to pay back that which is due to those whom it is due. But that is if the person comes to know. But if he doesn't come to know, then of course if the Shaykh is not some Alimul Ghaib, Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, Main Alimul Ghaib to nahi hoon, lekin main Alimul Aib hoon. He said, Muridin ke liye, for the Murids, he said, I'm not Alimul Ghaib, that the hidden knowledge I have, but I'm Alimul Aib, that I get the knowledge of what weakness is in this person. So if he traps, or if he senses that this person has got pride, then that atom bomb of pride, if this person has got in him, then it has to be diffused. So he will give him a prescription which will diffuse that atom bomb. In the same way, if that person has got jealousy, if he's got malice, if he's got greed, then they will give different prescriptions to different people. It's not just taking the brush and painting everybody with the same brush. Or it must not be like that Annadi doctor, that who saw that everybody that came to that doctor for whom he was working, he was giving him some kind of prescription, and the doctor had white medication, but that white medication, he had different dosage for different people and different ingredients in there. So he thought that it must be just white medication. Anybody comes, must give him white medication. So he too opened up one bogus practice, and everybody comes, then he gives him that medication. So most of them ended up in the Qabristan. So after that, whenever he had to pass that Qabristan, he used to go blindfolded or put his hand on his eyes. So when they asked him that, why do you do this when you pass the Qabristan, Hakim Sahab? He says, because most of them resting here are resting there with the blessings and compliments of my medication. So therefore, I have to close my eyes. So the Hakim, so the Shaykh, he's a spiritual Hakim. He has to find the aib, he has to find the weakness, and then he has to reprimand that person. But if that person is not a murid of his, this is where we make a mistake. They say, why didn't he tell that person? He saw that person doing wrong, why didn't he tell him at the same time? Wasn't it necessary for him to say? No, it is not necessary. Hazrat Maulana Mujaddid-e-Millat Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayh was traveling in the train, and he saw one person with his pants below the ankle. So he reprimanded him, or didn't reprimand him, in a nice way he told him, he said that this is not jais, it is haram, so therefore pull it up. So he said, who says so? So Maulana said that it is in the Sharia, it is in the Hadith. He said, Hadith ki aisi taisi na'uzu billah. So Maulana says, I caught my ears, that until I don't know the person now, I am not going to tell him anything. Because if I am going to tell that person a good thing, and if he is going to now make a statement of this nature, then up till now he was committing a haram act. But now with this statement, he went totally out of the pale of Islam. So you rather leave him there until you can build up a relationship with him. And then when you find the time is right and the occasion is right, then at that time you tell that person. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that it is not jais to tell a person until that person treats your shoes on his head like he is eating bread. That if you take the shoe and have to give him a few shots on his head, then that person must treat it as if it is just freshly baked bread. Then you must tell that person. But if he treats it as if you are beating him, then keep quiet at that time. So what I am saying is that Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh is to say that in my murid, I look for every aib of his, so that I can make the islah of that person. So these are the things that they make islah of. Now when this person is, islah is being made, then that is like that pul sirat. That is that pul sirat. That every way he has to be careful. That he doesn't fall this side or he doesn't fall that side. He doesn't go extreme right or extreme left. He leads a very, very balanced life. And I've explained this many times, that the wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, nobody's life can be more balanced than his life. He doesn't go on to any extreme. It doesn't mean that if he becomes a wali of Allah, so then he takes his children and goes and dumps them in some mountain top, or in some jungle or some forest, because he has become wali of Allah Ta'ala, so now where can he be associating with women and children? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam proved it by his marriages. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam proved that association with his wives and with the children did not harm him one bit. Or in the spiritual world, this person will not be harmed in any way. In fact, it will elevate his position if he has to fulfill the rights of his wife and his children and his parents and whoever else that he has responsibility of. So this association with these people will not cause him any harm. As my Shaykh explains, that if a person says the whole day, Le Amrud, Le Amrud, Le Amrud, because the person is selling guavas, So whole day he is shouting that buy a guava, buy peaches, buy apples. Whole day if he has to shout that, it will create no darkness in this person's heart. Like a person who is in the business and he is showing somebody the material, he is showing somebody the trousers, he is showing somebody the shirt, he is showing somebody the, or is selling to somebody the sugar and the rice and the wheat. So the whole day also if he has to do that during the hours of business, and he is doing that so that he may earn halal livelihood, then that will not bring about any darkness in this person's heart. But yet if this person is going to speak something which is useless, futile, for no reason and no purpose, then it will create some form of darkness in the person's heart. But here whole day he is talking about, is not going to create any darkness, because there is a purpose, there is a reason for it. And Shariat sanctions it, Shariat allows it. In fact, Shariat instructs the person that you must make an effort. Kasbul halal faridatun ba'dal farida. To earn halal is one of the farz after the other farais. But ba'dal fariza, that it must not be at the expense of the salat. It must not be at speaking lies and earning the living. It is farz to stay away from lies. It is farz to stay away from hiding the defect in the article which a person is selling. These are also farais, if we look at it through another angle. So now this person who is earning his namaz, it's not only the namaz, it's everything that Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram in the trade. So he stays away from that. And he goes and fulfills those hukam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which is related to salat and other such matters. And also when it comes to zakat on the earnings. So ba'dal fariza, then it is farz. So what I was explaining to you is this, that it is necessary for a person to make up his mind and his niyat of islah. Those who say that we are not ready for islah, many people they say we are not yet ready for islah. So then that same questions which my shaykh always asks, that guna achi cheez hai ya kharab cheez hai. So any sensible Muslim who is not in a high after taking cocaine and mandrakes, then he will say kharab cheez hai. But if he is in a different world, if he is in cloud nine, then probably we may get a different answer. But otherwise, that person will say kharab cheez hai. So he say if kharab cheez hai, to kharab cheez ko chhodna chahiye ke nahi. If it's kharab, if it's bad, then must you give it up or not? Then again a sensible Muslim will say, yes, you have to give it up. So then in the third question would be that kab chhodna chahiye? Maut ke baad ya maut se pehle? Maut ke baad if a person gives it up, then what is the difference between him and the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara? Every person will have to give up all those sins in which he is indulging at the time of death. When those eyes will close, which television program he is going to see with those eyes? When those ears will stop listening, then what is he, which music is he going to listen to? When the heart is going to stop beating, then everybody will give up the sins. With those hands, now he cannot pull the trigger on anyone. He cannot sign a check fraudulently. With that hands, now he cannot punch a person without justification. With those hands, he cannot touch any haram anymore. So that even the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, everybody after death, they will have to give it up. So we have to give it up before death. So then when is when the time of death is going to come, no one knows. So it means that we have to give it up immediately. Yes, in the process, the person will again slip and fall and get up and run and fall and all kinds of things will happen. We don't say that after he has made his niyat that I'm giving it up, then he's not going to again make a mistake. Because we are human beings, we are bound to slip and bound to make mistakes, bound to make errors. But at least that person, his conscience will be alive. That I made a mistake, it is a sin that I have indulged in. And then his tawbah will also be like the tawbah of Hazrat Salabah radiallahu ta'ala an, which I explained in one majlis of mine. That just that slight touch upon the hand, upon the shoulder of that woman, and he goes away into the jungles and he cries and he cries. And he says, tie me up and take me to Rasulullah Park Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Take me here, take me there. That whole story of Hazrat Salabah radiallahu ta'ala. That one slight error and one slight mistake, and to this person it will be like if the mountain has fallen upon his shoulders and upon his head. It will not be like a fly sitting on the person's head anymore. At present there are snakes around our throats and our necks, and they are biting us, and they are attacking us. But we have got no conscience also that the snakes are around my neck, but we can see the fly sitting on another person's head. If there's a fly sitting on another person's head, immediately we talk about that fly. But all those snakes, the snake of jealousy, snake of envy, snake of malice, snake of greed, snake of haram passions, all these snakes are around our own throats that we cannot see. So the sohbat of the salihin is necessary for this reason, that they point out our mistakes and our errors. And that person who becomes annoyed and offended and angry with that reprimanding or with that scolding of the shaykh, then that person is not fit to be a murid. He should rather not become a murid then. He should consider that as an ihsan of the shaykh. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub Rahmatullah Alayhi, whose ashar we read in our zikr majlis, how beloved he was to Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayhi. But in his islah also, so many times he reprimanded him. In this trip of mine to Karachi, in my presence, Hazrat reprimanded or scolded Hazrat Mir Sahab in such a manner that we all were shocked. That 28 years he is in his khidmat and this is how he scolds him. That is what we thought. But afterwards he explained to us. He said that many a times I told Hazrat Mir Sahab that he must get married. Two or three places he put proposal, but it didn't work out. So now he doesn't have wife, he doesn't have children. All the time he is with kitabs, with majlis, with this, with that. So he goes on to a very high. So I have to reprimand him, I have to scold him, I have to tell him something to bring him to the, and keep him on earth. Inke andar ek jazb ki kaifiyat paida ho jati hai. Now what we are seeing and see what the shaykh is seeing. But then after scolding him, listen to this. Believe me, wallah, I'm telling you the truth. After scolding him, reprimanding him, in the presence of everybody, and all were very shocked up, and they thought that what Hazrat is doing. And they thought that he dislikes him. But Mir Sahab didn't run away. He didn't pack his bags and go away. In the evening after Isha Salat, so Hazrat could, he gets a lot of kush, so he could see that I too was very much shaken at that time. So he said, Maulana, aaj subah maine jo Mir Sahab ko danta, to is wajah se danta. Lekin uske baad maine Mir Sahab ko 10,000 rupiah bakshish diya. I gave Mir Sahab 10,000 rupees hadiya. Isliye ke wo sayyad hai. Aur kahin aisa na ho ke in my reprimanding him, which was done for the purpose of his islah, lekin mere nana jaan khafa ho jaye. Rasool Pak Sasam becomes annoyed and displeased that you exceeded the limit. So I gave him 10,000 rupees. Just then Mir Sahab walked in. So he asked him, Mir Sahab, kya sahi hai? Mir Sahab said, ji. So I said, Hazrat, tab to inke liye daant bahut mufid rahi. I said, then it was a very beneficial reprimanding. If you get 10,000 rupees after such kind of reprimanding, it's very beneficial. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that then he explained that why did he do this. So he said, for Islah, it was necessary for me that at that time he was making that error and that mistake, even though he's with me 28 years. But I had to tell him at that time. So Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat told him, take your bedding and get out of the khanqah. Tum yahan rehne ke qabil nahi ho. Now imagine, such a mehboob khalifa of his, and he says, get out from here. He took his bedding immediately and went outside the khanqah. And from outside again, he sent him one share. In that share, the meaning of which was that someone has the power to chase a person out. And the other person has the power not to run away. Hukumat apni apni hai, kahi unki kahi meri. His government is inside, my government is outside. So I'm not going to go from here. Hazrat said, call him inside again, tell him to put his bedding back again. So what I'm trying to explain to you is that this is the thing that we have to understand. That reformation and change after death is too late. So we must not get frightened and worried and scared that if we make up our mind to reform and change, then we'll become abnormal people. The wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the most balanced, most normal person. The only thing he doesn't do is commit sins. That's about all. And the person who doesn't commit sins, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him happiness and joy and satisfaction in his heart. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein.
wo shab o roz hai gulsita mein jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein wo shab o roz hai gulsita mein dekh kar mere ashke nadamat dekh kar mere ashke nadamat abre rahmat ki barish hai jaame
with whomsoever Allah tabaraka wa taala is happy, he is in gardens all the time. Don't look at his outside condition, he is in gardens all the time. He doesn't require another garden outside this world. He's got jannat with him in his heart because he's got the khaliq of jannat. Mana ke mir gulshan e jannat to dur hai arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. The Arifs, they've got the Khaliq of Jannat. Allah is the creator of the sweetness. How many times you have heard, Allah is the one who puts the sweetness into the sugar cane. If Allah did not put the sweetness into the sugar cane, the price of sugar cane and bamboo sticks would have been the same. If you have to dig around where the sugar cane is planted, dig around it, go deep down, take all that sand and earth that comes out from there, and put it through any mill in the world, and see if you can produce sugar from the earth. Take the sand and send it to the sugar mill and tell them that it's from the same ground where the sugar cane is planted. I brought this sand, now give me some sugar from it. So who is it that puts sweetness into the sugar cane, into stick? Sweetness. So Allah Ta'ala can't put sweetness into our hearts, that irrespective of outside conditions, the person has got sweetness of iman in his heart. He will be a normal person. He will laugh, he will joke, he will eat, he will talk, he will walk, he will marry, he will bring up children, he will conduct business, he will travel. He will be an absolutely normal person. The only thing he won't do is he won't indulge in sins. He will be cheerful and happy with his family. His family will love him, he will love his family. He will be a blessing for all. Because this person has got the taluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's got the khaliq of Jannat in his heart. So the creator of happiness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will give that person a happiness in the heart. We say that sometimes a person, he is sick, he is in bed, and for years he is bedridden. Then how can that person be happy? I gave you, I think, one example of Hazrat Imran bin Hussein. For 32 years he was in the bed, just like that. He cannot move right, he cannot move left. But there was a bashashat, a happiness and a joy and that people could see on his face. So when they questioned him that how is it 32 years you are in bed and this is the happiness that we see on your face. He says, when I saw that medication is not going to help, it failed completely. As a means, he adopted medication. We don't say that don't take any treatment. But if it has failed and Allah Ta'ala has willed that I remain in this paralyzed state for my life, so I accepted the decision of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When I made tafweez, I gave over my decision to the decision of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened the ghaib for me. I can see the angels going up and down, up and down. So now that person for whom the angels coming in, he can see them and visit them, and he is seeing the ni'mats of Jannat with his eyes, then would he like to be healthy or he would like to remain in that state? So because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala came into his heart, he had purified his heart. A beautiful example is like of a person that he, for example, his beloved child was missing for 20 years or 30 years. Or his beloved anyone was missing for a long, long time. His wife was missing. Or any other friend was missing for a long, long time. Now this friend of his was missing for 20 years, and they were very close friends, very close companions. They traveled together. They were virtually inseparable. After 20 years, suddenly, this friend, he comes and he grabs this friend from the back and he squeezes him tight, so tight that it's as if the person's bones will crack. So he says, "Leave me. Who are you?" But when he looks back, he sees that it is that 20 years missing friend. Now at that time, would he like him to leave him, or he will say, "Leave, keep holding tight on me." So just like that, although the person is suffering that pain and that squeeze, and is complaining also, but he does not want that person to leave him, because of that muhabbat that he has for that person. So when the taluq and muhabbat with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will come such, then all conditions this person will say that, "My Allah, as long as he is pleased with me and happy with me, then any condition he keeps me in, I am happy." Wow.
जिस राह से भी वो ले जाते हैं उस राह को असहल देखा है, जिस हाल में भी वो रखते हैं उस हाल को अकमल देखा है, जिस हाल में भी वो रखते हैं उस हाल को अकमल देखा है, जिस राह से वो ले जाते हैं उस राह को असहल देखा है। Through whichever route my Allah takes me, I found that to be the easiest route. And whichever condition my Allah gives me, I found that to be the perfect condition. So now will that person be grieved? And natural grief, natural sorrow, natural pain, it is something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself experienced and even complained of. When his son passed away, he teared also. So to laugh at that time is stupidity. And what we read in some incidents of some walis, that they laughed. When the child passed away, they laughed. Now we will think that they were far more greater than that wali who teared when the child passed away. But in reality, that wali who teared is closer to Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he teared upon the passing away of his son, Hazrat Ibrahim. So then why did these walis laugh? Well, they said it is Allah Ta'ala's will, and they laughed because it was a condition of their hal. And we must always remember that the hal of a person is not something that you have to follow. There are different hals of walis which we are not obliged to follow. Some walis didn't keep a single thing in their home. They said that it is not jais for us to keep one extra coin at home. Bread also, if there is any left over, you must give it away at night before you go to bed. There must be nothing left for the tomorrow. So that was a hal. We are not obliged to follow that hal. We have got the Quran, and we've got the Sunnah, and we've got the Sharia, which is for weak people like us. So that was a hal of the wali. We are not going to criticize them for it, because they didn't do it purposely. It was not something just to put up a performance and a show. Like some people, like one person in Madina Sharif, he didn't have his shoes on. He walks all the streets without shoes. So I asked him, why you don't wear shoes? Somebody asked him. So he said, no, Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh, he didn't wear shoes in Madina Sharif. Indeed, Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh's love for Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was so great that he didn't even use the toilet in Madina Sharif. He went right out. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh went right out. So many different people, but that was their hal. But this person, just near the masjid of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, I personally saw him, is smoking away. So where's that muhabbat of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam? Just now there was so much muhabbat that he didn't wear shoes. And now suddenly the cigarette smoking. Those days when cigarette smoking was permissible, now I think it's banned, which is the best thing they did. But when it was permissible, so at that time he's smoking there right near the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now imagine, the person has just smoked, and within seconds he will be entering the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now with that filthy odor in that person's mouth, will the angels come near him? And what taklif he is giving to Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One friend, he says, I gave up Maulana cigarettes after you mentioned in Madina Sharif that you will have to be saying something or the other all the time when you are making wuzu, or when you are eating, then before meals you will be saying something, Bismillah wa ala barakatillah. After meals you will be reading some dua. When you're putting your shoes you will be reading some dua. When you're entering the masjid you will be reading some dua. If somebody says Assalamu alaikum, then you will be replying Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, rahmatullah. And again, so many times you will be saying Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. Now imagine, every time that you say this, or some ayat of the Quran Sharif you will be reading, now where you will have the time to go and brush your teeth and purify the mouth and keep it clean before you take the name of Allah. Like if I have to make you salam and you just smoked, now I said Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and you said, just hold on, first I'll go brush my teeth, and I'm coming just now, Maulana, just wait here a few minutes, because I was smoking, there's bad odor in my mouth, but just now I'll be back in a few minutes, I'll brush my teeth and make Walaikum Assalam wa rahmatullah. Will it make sense? So taking the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with that filthy mouth, the angels are running away and damaging the health too. What is the benefit? We also smoked a lot in school days. But if only we had realized at that time that what harm it does. So my brothers, I thought we will go on to the third point. We will conclude here tonight, inshallah. So the second point is this, that in whatever condition you are, whether you are in a happy mood or we are in bad mood, but don't say anything that is unjust, unfair. Always be balanced. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased with us. Allah ta'ala will be happy with us.
And as I explained, that when we make our islah, then Allah will come into the hearts. It doesn't mean Allah Ta'ala has some kind of form of figure or anything of that kind that will come into the heart. It means the tajalli of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will be directed at that heart. And that person will get peace, he'll get contentment, he'll get satisfaction. There'll be sukoon, there'll be happiness. He will be carrying the gardens of Jannat all the time in his heart. So much so that those people who will sit in his company, they too, inshallah, will experience that same sukoon, that same peace and that same happiness. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. One brother who is sitting in this majlis, besides the other parts which he has written, which is of course I'm not going to read, he says, Mawlana, your programs have been instrumental in the condition of the change of my heart. My heart is not restless anymore. I feel refreshed and I have a sense of peace and serenity when I attend the program. My temper has subsided and my relationship has grown stronger with my wife. I feel pure and free of sins when I sit close in the majlis. Now this is just one. There are many, many like this. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and it's no greatness of mine or no kamal of mine and no without fakhar. I wish to say that it is the blessings of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the fazl of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and the du'as of my beloved Shaykh, that people are finding changes in their lives. And it's not only the crowd that sits here, alhamdulillah, the tapes are going far and wide, as I explained to you in one of the majlises, and they are writing from different countries. There are groups of people who, after it's over here, when they get a tape, then they sit and they listen, and they say that for the first time, it is now having a direct effect on our hearts. So this is the fazl of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So be grateful to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He gave us this opportunity to listen to these type of talks which bring about a change in our lives. Because listening, we have heard enough. We are Sunni Muslims. But the Sunni in the sense, the Sun ke sab sun ho gaye. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہمیں تقوی نصیب فرما اے اللہ ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت عافیت عزت سلامتی نصیب فرما اے میرے پیارے خدا اے میرے رحیم کریم اللہ اس دنیا کے اندر ہمیں عزت کی زندگی نصیب فرما اور آخرت کے اندر بھی عزت کی زندگی نصیب فرما اے اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطان ہر گناہ کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے بخش دے جو ہماری زندگی ختم ہو گئی وہ تو ختم ہو گئی جو باقی ہے صراط مستقیم پر ہمیں قائم رکھ اے اللہ تیرا قرب خاص ہمیں نصیب فرما اے اللہ تیرے قرب کے دریا کی گہرائی کی مچھلی ہمیں بنا دے نفس و شیطان ہمیں تجھ سے ایک لمحہ بھی جدا نہ کر سکے ایسا تعلق ہمیں نصیب فرما تیرے قوت جذب سے ہم سب کو اپنا بنا لے ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد واله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين